Welcome to CNN 10, your objective overview of world events. My name is Carl Azus. First story this Thursday takes us to the border between the United States and Mexico. Some call the situation there a challenge for the U.S., some call it a crisis. What it's about is a dramatic increase in the number of migrants who want to cross the border into the United States and an increase in the number who've been arrested for crossing that border illegally. This has put a strain on U.S. officials trying to guard the border and the facilities America has for caring for migrants. Part of the reason more people from various countries have been coming to the border is because they believe the Biden administration will make it easier for them to enter the U.S. than the Trump administration did. Last year, President Donald Trump's government allowed U.S. border officials to turn away migrants arrested at the border out of concerns they might further spread coronavirus in America. The law is still in effect, but President Joe Biden's government changed it so that it wouldn't apply to children caught at the border. They're now allowed to stay in the U.S. while their cases for immigration are reviewed. And though U.S. officials say most of the people arrested at the border are single adults, they have seen an increase in the percentage of families and children trying to cross. There's now a record number of kids being held in U.S. Border Patrol facilities, and they weren't designed for children. Many of the migrants' home countries have been hit hard by the coronavirus pandemic, and that same pandemic has limited the number of U.S. border officials who can interact with and process the migrants. So all of this has made the situation more difficult and increased pressure on the Biden administration to determine what to do next.
Sandra Caballero says she has spent a year sitting on the border's edge with her husband and three children. She says they left the endless crisis of violence in Honduras to seek asylum. Sandra tells us she hopes President Biden will open the door to the border because we need a better future for our children. The increasing surge of migrants on the southern border is reaching emergency levels for the Biden administration. U.S. authorities have arrested and encountered more than 100,000 migrants in the 4 weeks before March 3rd, the highest levels for that same time period in at least 5 years. And new data reviewed by CNN shows there are more than 3,400 unaccompanied children in the custody of Customs and Border Protection. Federal immigration officials are scrambling to make room.
We're here in the town of Donna, Texas, on the Mexico border, and CBP has just opened up this massive tent facility.
This temporary processing site for migrants was opened just over a month ago. A Homeland Security official told CNN the facility is significantly overcrowded, mostly with children. Republicans and some Democrats say the Biden administration isn't moving fast enough to keep the migration crisis under control.
They are completely unprepared for what is going on the border now, and they're going to be even more unprepared for what will be happening in the coming months.
The Biden administration says the majority of migrants are being turned away at the border and refuse to describe the situation as a crisis.
Look, I don't think we need to sit here and put new labels on what we have already conveyed is challenging. What we have conveyed is a top priority for the president.
But many more families are being allowed to wait in the U.S. for their immigration court dates. We met Jose at a church shelter. We were asked to protect his identity. He says desperation and fear is driving them to the border. He left Honduras with his son 3 months ago.
Muchos niños viajando solo. Did you see a lot of children traveling by themselves?
Claro, sí.
Jose tells us he saw many children along the way begging or cleaning windows for money.
Critics of the Biden administration say that the president is not acting fast enough to get the migration situation under control on the U.S. southern border. President Biden and his team insist that what they're trying to do is develop a much more humanitarian approach to immigration here in this country. Ed Lavandera, CNN, Dallas.
It was exactly a year ago today that the World Health Organization, part of the United Nations, declared that the coronavirus outbreak was a pandemic, meaning it had spread worldwide. The WHO had labeled the disease a public health emergency last January, but it had been criticized for not moving fast enough to sound the alarm about COVID-19. Governments around the world have been grappling with how to respond to the disease. Their challenge has been twofold: to limit the disease's impact on their people's health, but also to limit its impact on their economies. The United States Congress has authorized several $1 trillion in spending to try to ease the economic problems related to coronavirus. Former President Donald Trump signed multiple bills last year. President Joe Biden plans to sign a $1.9 trillion bill tomorrow after making a primetime address tonight. It'll be his first speech to the nation since he was inaugurated. The latest stimulus bill passed in the Senate last Saturday, and the House voted 220 to 211 to pass it on Wednesday. No Republicans in either chamber voted in favor of the legislation. Some criticized it as being too partisan, focusing too much on what Democrats wanted, and spending too much on programs that aren't related to the pandemic. One House Democrat also voted against the plan, but every other Democrat in the House and Senate voted for it, some saying it was needed to strengthen the economy, save jobs, and help people who need the money. Officials estimate that more than 90% of U.S. households will receive direct payments from the package. It'll provide additional benefits to people who've lost their jobs, more money for public schools, more assistance for small businesses hurt by the pandemic, additional funding for vaccines, and hundreds of billions for state and local governments. But a lot of this isn't spent immediately. Roughly a trillion from last year's stimulus plans still hasn't been paid out. 10-second trivia. In what country would you find the world's oldest hotel, which dates back to 705 AD? Egypt, Japan, Italy, or India? The Guinness World Record holder for the oldest hotel is in Japan, just a little west of Tokyo. But Las Vegas, Nevada is where you'll find the most expensive hotel room in the world. A certain suite there will set you back $100,000 per night, and it includes a pool suspended over the city. Well, that covers the past and present. But a hotel of the future, if it gets off the ground, could cost considerably more than that. It'll take millions to get you in the door, or should we probably say the hatch. Here's CNN 10 contributor Chris James.
Hey Carl, usually I take you guys on incredible virtual field trips right here on planet Earth. But today I am taking you to the furthest destination yet. Specifically, a space hotel inspired by a cruise ship that could one day be floating above the Earth's atmosphere. It goes by the name Voyager Station. This futuristic concept is comprised of 24 modules connected by elevator shafts that make up a rotating wheel orbiting the Earth. These are the renderings of what's promised to be a hotel like no other. It suggests an interior not too different from a hotel you might find on Earth, with some pretty out-of-this-world views. The design architect told CNN Travel the hotel's aesthetic hoped to bring a slice of Earth via warm suites and chic bars and restaurants. Yes, even though guests will be in outer space, they will still be able to enjoy regular beds and showers. It's set to be built by the Orbital Assembly Corporation, a new construction company, whose CEO said that the golden age of space travel is just around the corner. The space hotel construction is expected to begin in 2026, with a five-star stay in space expected to be possible by the year 2027. One of the coolest aspects of this hotel is the fact that you'd be able to jump very high and lift extremely heavy objects because of the gravity-defying weightlessness of space. There are also plans to serve traditional space food like freeze-dried ice cream in the hotel restaurant. The team is also hoping to build research stations and spark space tourism and commerce opportunities. And they hope the government or private companies might be able to rely on them for training crews heading to the moon, Mars, and beyond. The price of a nightly stay? Still to be determined. Back to you, Carl.
Our last story is for the birds. They can be so graceful in the air, but one of these at least needs to work on the landings. This is a northern royal albatross. It's okay, maybe a little embarrassed. The breed can soar for hours over the ocean, but when it came to touching down at this nest in New Zealand, well, one of them face-planted right in front of a six-month-old chick. It's like, don't try this at home, kids. Nest time, don't be in such a thrush. Oh, you can parrot your long flight all you want, but when you come beak, the cardinal rule is to stork the landing. That way the kids won't be peregrining like you just got albatrossed to the ground. I mean, the whole thing looked like a landfowl. I'm Carl Azus. Some of you are in Powell, Tennessee. But Carl, how do you know? Because Powell High School subscribed and left a comment on our YouTube channel. Tomorrow's Friday, and you know what that means.